Last time you were on, we talked a little bit about the oil tax credits that Governor Sean Parnell has promoted. We actually have a question from the community, and I believe it's coming from Mayor Shirley Marquardt. In your opinion, as a legislator, what's a greater risk, giving more tax credit for oil exploration and having to use money from the state savings to cover the budget gap, or not providing a further tax credit, possibly discouraging exploration and just using our oil pipeline and having it go dry?
Well, that's the operative question that we as policymakers really need to dig down and better understand. And right now you're seeing hearings taking place in the House. Expect to see hearings in the Senate in March on this issue. My personal feeling, given the complexity of the issue, is that we are going to see a special session probably later on this year, perhaps a 30-day special session or whatever it might take. But the question about the trade-off is a question that's very much on the mind, I think, of all 60 legislators, even though at this point there's certainly a group of legislators who believe that the issue is fairly cut and dried. We need to adjust the tax. Well, there's other legislators who think that that the issue is, sort of overblown and maybe not warranted. My personal feelings are is we need to take a look at it and decide that or to revisit the tax and to really, as the mayor points out, consider the question about, A, what can we do to get more oil down the pipeline and incentivize the industry, but at the same time not jeopardize the state treasury, because if we did follow the governor's plan, we're looking at maybe upwards of $2.3 billion of impact on the state treasury at a time when, even with oil prices at the $90 range, we're looking at needing oil prices at $83 a barrel this year just to break even. And there's the hard part in this whole equation, and it's something that the legislature is going to have to sort of sift through, if you will, is by offering tax credits or a reduction in the tax to the oil industry, does it in fact engender more activity? What can we actually get out of that that change in tax policy? And so that whole question will definitely consume a good part of the remainder of the session. And as I say, I think we're going to have special session on it later on this year.
Mm-hmm. And you were just talking about the need to have higher oil prices to cover all of this. Right now, there's been a lot of unrest in the Middle East, particularly in Libya, where there have been uprisings, which has caused the price of oil to spike. What do you see the effect being on Alaska, and how do you see this impacting the Alaska's future budget ultimately?
Well, oil as of today is at a 2-year high, the unrest in the Middle East definitely underscores the volatility that's attached to the price of oil. So you take that and you combine it with the precarious situation we are in terms of the supply of oil dwindling or declining each year by anywhere from 6% to 3%. It makes for a pretty sobering picture for the long-term budget outlook for the state of Alaska. So, again, I think the concern about the future of the oil industry in the North Slope and the drilling activity and the amount of exploration that hasn't been taking place in the last 3 or 4 years is all very much warranted. So I support taking a closer look at the situation.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you recently met with the Bush caucus this weekend. Is that right?
Yes, we had an all-day session on Sunday where we went over all of our priorities and emerged with sort of a real rough priorities list on a number of different issues.
Mm-hmm. And what are those priorities?
Well, they range from education funding to energy issues to public safety to transportation, and just sort of the range of core issues that that even that you could subscribe to urban legislators as well as rural legislators.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we are sort of running out of time, but do you have an extra few minutes for the remaining questions that we have, or do you have to get going off to committee hearings and the like?
Well, I've got the city of Ketchikan coming in here in a few minutes, but let's take a couple more minutes, Alexandra, and finish off your questions.
All right. Well, so Senator Albert Kukesh recently talked about the effects that redistricting will have on rural communities, particularly his district. I know that you were a proponent of increasing the size of the legislature. Right now, that sort of the actual battle over redistricting is starting. Do you anticipate District 37 being affected at all?
We don't know. There's, I think, two scenarios for rural, for House District 37. One would be that the district is essentially cut into two, with the lower portion, Unalaska included, joining in with Kodiak. That's one scenario that I see out there. The second scenario would be that the district stays intact, but it expands slightly and goes up north to incorporate some of the lower Kuskokwim villages to give it the population level that it will need to stay together as one house district.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see the ultimate impact of those two scenarios being?
Well, that's a good question. We just don't know yet. And the redistricting board, you know, which obviously has been underway since last September when it was appointed, is, you know, basically waiting to get this, the detailed census numbers that they will need to begin their work, which, you know, they've got 90 days to come up with a final plan. And so the census is that they will get those census numbers sometime either in mid or late March, and that's when the clock will start ticking for the redistricting board to come up with their sort of interim plans, and then to take their final plans and travel around the state and get public testimony and really, you know, engage the public on what they propose. By the way, I'm and I have worked with the both executive director and the chairman, and my expectation is that they will, or at least a couple of the redistricting members, will come to Unalaska and hold a public hearing sometime later on in the spring.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I have two last questions, the first of which has to do with state health exchanges. Governor Sean Parnell has taken the stance that the federal health care law that recently passed is unconstitutional and has refused federal money to set up a state health care exchange, but has proposed that the state establish one itself. Could you talk a little bit about how this is playing out in the legislature and where you stand on this?
Well, it's a very complicated issue. Let me just begin there, and I am not going to pretend to anybody that I understand all the moving parts, because I don't know that anybody really does, even those that sit on the Health and Social Services Committee, which I do not. how it's going to play out in the legislature really is going to factor into the overall budget plan that, you know, we were talking about the operating budget earlier. I think the amount of funding involved with exchange is about $1 million. Although the state, certainly under Governor Parnell's leadership, has been accepting other areas of funding tied to the Federal Health Care Act signed into law last year by President Obama. So how it factors into the Health and Social Services budget, I do not know at this point. I don't know if they know, because they're in the process of closing out the budget on the House side. And I, in fact, spoke with their Representative Jewell this morning on that subject, but not specifically to your question.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll certainly let people know how that's going to impact the budget, if there are any impacts. We don't know yet.
Okay. And I guess my final question is kind of a historical one. Recently, Senator Ted Stevens' FBI file was released to the public, and among the 3,000 documents, it covered his entire career and looked at everything from serious items to death threats against a senator to more frivolous items like the state of inebriation of judges at certain Fairbanks bars in the 1950s to pretty innocuous items that had to do with constituent requests. One of the things that I found somewhat surprising was that included in the file were some emails that mentioned your name and your position on Pebble Mine during your campaign for election. Could you talk a little bit about what that was about, and were you surprised at all to make an appearance in these, I guess, historical documents?
You know, I guess I'm. This is very interesting. I had not read about that, and I'll have to take a look. this is the first time I've learned of that, and I can only speculate, given my position and of concern about the pebble mine, that I'll have to go back and take a look at it, and maybe we can address that at a future radio show. I haven't seen the comments.
Okay. Well, I'll send them on to you, and thanks so much for your time. As always, we really appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Well, thanks, Alexandra, and we will talk when we have the next radio show.
All right. That was Representative Bryce Edgman of District 37, and this is Speak Up on Alaska. Thank you all for listening.